Well, I don't actually. What are you talking about?
You know what? Let me rephrase the question.
Yeah.
How did you get into this?
You'll be happy to know that I'm about one shot away from having all the footage I need for the follow-up video, which, to politicize the title of that one, will be Stuff Runners Say to Barefoot Runners. And I said, what? What?
Do you have any drills that you recommend for people trying to get into the proper running form?
Take off your shoe. throw it across the room.
Take off your shoes. Get a big pile of broken glass. what?
Another episode of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott War.
I'm Faith Goss.
And I'm Don Freeman.
And today we have the writer, creator, producer, director of Stuff.
Stuff?
That's actually, I'm editing there. Stuff, Barefoot Runner Say, which is a YouTube video that's kind of gone around the...
It's viral.
Yeah, viral.
It is viral. In fact, we linked it about a week ago to our website. Many of our loyal members have already watched it, and we liked it so much. In fact, Don, I think you said you watched it like 7 times.
I'll admit to 7.
But we liked it so much that I decided to pick up the phone and call Steve Sashin, who is the creator of this just funny video, and found out that he also owns and runs a website shoe store called invisibleshoe.com that you can go on, and started talking to him, and he's just a fun guy to talk to, and actually has the same philosophy that a lot of us ultra trail runners have. So we invited him on, and he was gracious enough to give us some of his time. Thank you for joining, Stephen.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm assuming that philosophy involves donuts. I know mine does.
Invisible shoes, Steve. Shoes you can't see? Why invisible shoes?
Oh, you know, okay, look. The fact that you said that is one of the reasons why we are soon, I'll announce it here, we are soon changing our name from Invisible Shoes to Zero Shoes, spelled X-E-R-O. But the argument is, it's not that you can't see them, but when you wear them, it feels like you have nothing on, except that you get a layer of protection. So they're a modern version of the Tarahumara Huaraches, but they're high-tech and co-designed by the former lead designers from Nike and Reebok.
I think there's a higher profit margin in invisible shoes, where you just ship an empty box and charge some pretty good margin.
I was hoping to make that a digital download, actually.
Nice. Hey, let's listen to this Stuff Barefoot Runners Say, because it's just classic. And then I'll have a listen to it 8 times, officially 22 times.
And of course, we'll have this link to the podcast, right?
Are you kidding? We wouldn't even be credible podcasters if we didn't link this. So here we go.
Here we go.
Have you read Born to Run? Have you read Born to Run? Have you read Born to Run? You've got to read Born to Run. Running shoes were designed to injure you. It's a conspiracy.
The guy at the shoe store said if I wanted to run barefoot, these are the best shoes to wear.
We were built to run for miles on pavement. Look, I don't care if it is a wedding. I'm not going to wear those foot coffins you call shoes.
Foot coffin?
Gravel, gravel, gravel! Can you get the smell out of your 5 fingers?
Heel striker.
So I used to have patellar tendonitis, metatarsal stress fractures, Achilles tendonitis, shin splints. They removed all the ligaments in both of my knees. Then last week I started running barefoot, and now I run an ultra marathon every day. Have you tried chia seeds?
Every one of these are just...
I can't even fit in real shoes anymore. So which barefoot shoes do you have? I've got the Kinvara, Hitori, my KSOs, my Bikilas. I've got the new Ultras.
I've got the Skechers Go Run. I've got MBTs. I've got invisible shoes. I've got Luna sandals. I'm totally into barefoot.
It's pronounced Vibram. Vibram Vakila, he won the marathon barefoot, then he had to put on shoes, and he died.
Yeah, these sandals, they're called Hurricanes. They're like the traditional sandals that the Tamahamarumi in Mexico wear.
That's how Don pronounced it. Tamahamarumi.
Tamahamarama. Tamrahama. It's Tamahamaruma. Tamahamarumi. It's the Tamahamarumi.
That's funnier every time.
No other animal wears shoes.
The fact that you're sore is good, and that'll go away in like a year.
Why are minimalist running shoes twice the price of regular running shoes? I don't know why I've got blisters on my heels. I totally forefoot strike.
Being barefoot, it stimulates the nerves that go to your brain, so running barefoot makes you way more smarter.
Chia seeds.
My name's Barefoot Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Barefoot Dave.
I'm Barefoot Mike.
Barefoot Chuck.
If you run barefoot, you will never get injured. Oh, jeez!
Oh, Steve, that is so awesome. I'll tell you, I could watch that 100 times, and I'll laugh every time.
Well, I have to tell you how weird it was for me, because the way you're recording this, I couldn't actually hear anything, so all I could hear was you guys chuckling.
Oh, that's even funnier.
It's a very entertaining way to hear it, I must
say. Well, the thing that turned me on to talking to you, Stephen, is here you are, you're making your living off of these invisible shoes or these minimalist sandals, mm-hmm. and yet you can make fun of the barefoot movement. And when we talked on last week, that was one of my main concerns is at first I was thinking, man, this guy could be kind of a barefoot nut, because there are some out there, right? And that's the ones you were making fun of. But you don't. You have a philosophy that I think is really grounded and realistic. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh my God, I don't even know what you're referring to. I don't think of myself as having a philosophy, other than I really don't actually. What are you talking about?
You know what? Let me rephrase the question.
Yeah.
How did you get into this?
Oh, so I had a 30-year break from running, or more accurately, sprinting. I was never a runner. I've tried that over the years, but I'm not that guy. Like, you know, on a track, at the end of the track, where if you keep running around them, you end up facing the other way. What are those things called?
Turns.
Yeah. I don't even take those. So a friend of mine came into brunch one day, and he had just won a 5K, and he was raving about that. And I said, you know, I love the idea of running, but I was always a sprinter. And he says, well, you know, there is Masters Track and Field, don't you? And I said, what? And so at 45 and change, I got back into sprinting. And I spent the first year and a half just going from injury to injury to injury. And someone at one point suggested that I try barefoot running. And so I did a bunch of reading. I got online. It turned out that there was a local coach, the guy who wrote Barefoot Running, the name of the book, Barefoot Running, Michael Sandler, was doing a workshop that weekend. So I went out and did that with him and said, well, that's kind of interesting, but I'm not really into, you know, long, slow, whatever. And he said, well, think of it like an off-season calf workout. And I said, that's intriguing. And within a month, to shorten the story tremendously, I had found some problems with my form when I was just doing barefoot running that obviously were the same thing going on when I was sprinting, and changed those just naturally because it hurt to do anything otherwise. And it's been 3 years and I haven't had an injury, and I'm an All-American Masters sprinter and one of the fastest guys between the ages of, well, over the age of 45.
Nice. Wow. And did they really remove all the ligaments in your knees?
they were replaced with exact replicas of the same ligaments.
Yeah, some of those comments in that video are just so classic, and I've used them on some runs with Scott, where all of a sudden I'll just start referencing part of your video and just repeating it. So I've admitted watching it 8 times, which is really much, much greater, but I've probably stated much of that stuff just for comic relief on runs.
Well, we've all said the non-comic versions of it. And so sometimes after you hear it enough, the joke is just so screamingly obvious. And you'll be happy to know that I'm about one shot away from having all the footage I need for the follow-up video, which to politicize the title of that one will be Stuff Runners Say to Barefoot Runners.
And I hope that we get to premiere that video on our website, because we're big fans.
Well, I want that one to get so viral you'd have to wash your hands after you watch it.
Good. Well, we'll help spread that disease.
So back again to you know, here you are making a living selling these minimalist shoes or sandals, if you will, mm-hmm. and yet you have a good grounded understanding that this is not necessarily the cure all, or you shouldn't necessarily have to go out and run in sandals or barefoot or in minimalist shoes all the time. You're a proponent of good form. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, those of us who discovered barefoot running, and even worse, those of us for whom it changed our lives, and I will put myself in that category, we can often suffer from a case of the evangelisms. And, you know, there's nothing more obnoxious than a new evangelist. And so we all suffer from that at times. And, you know, I've said probably everything in that video, the serious version of that video. But the whole idea with minimalism and barefoot, especially barefoot, and there is a difference, is that if you take off your shoes and run the way you've been running in regular shoes, it's going to hurt. And if you figure out a way to run that doesn't hurt, you will have improved your form. And the form is the real deal. So it's form, not footwear, but the footwear can really inform the form. I did some high-speed video analysis of some very high-caliber runners out at Mesa State College in Western Colorado. And some of actually, we took a look at a lot of different runners. The kind of casual weekend warrior runners, if you put different shoes or not shoes on their feet, their entire biomechanics changed. The Olympic caliber runners, you could put bricks on their feet and it was all the same.
Huh, that's interesting.
Is it possible to, well, I guess you just answered that. For the Olympic athlete or the real elite, it doesn't matter what they're wearing. They have their form so dialed in that they can still hit that stride and do it exactly right.
It matters a bit, because if you have something with a really, really high heel, it's almost impossible to midfoot or forefoot strike because the heel just gets in the way. I mean, it's just so much stuff there that even if you were a midfoot striker, let's say if you're a midfoot striker, your heel was only an inch off the ground when you hit the ground. If you've got an inch and a half of padding, the padding's going to hit the ground first. So it does matter. There's still a difference if you're wearing something really padded or not. You really, really high caliber athletes, it certainly didn't alter their gait, but it did alter their performance.
Wow. Well there's the podcast right there. I mean, that piece, we could play that over and over and over until the people get it and may, because I think that is exactly the point. Can we run, and this was your question with Dr. Cucuzella, Scott,
yep.
Can we run with proper running form with these high-heeled shoes? He says no, and what I just heard you say, Stephen, is no.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I haven't worn a pair of normal shoes except for when I was shoveling snow, but that was last year. This year I've shoveled snow in my sandals. But the only time I've had to wear a pair of quote, regular shoes, and this is the funny thing is they are, and this is double air quotes, minimalist shoes, and more specifically, they're Nike Freeze. I had to wear those for being seen somewhere in public where I couldn't have my toes waggling, and the heel on that thing is really high, and I kept trying to walk the way I normally do, which is I don't land midfoot often, but I kind of barely hit my heel, kind of roll over my heel, but with the height of the heel on the Nike Freeze, I couldn't avoid it, and after the second day my knees were shot.
Stephen, are you thinking maybe we should get together as a community, and for all the heel strikers, they can buy shoes that we've worn out on the forefoot, and we can just swap.
Yeah, and then just actually, if you could just take shoes and rotate them like tires, then eventually, you know, you'd find it. But I mean, it's a very interesting point, and people often ask, well, if it's really about the form, can't I just learn to do that in regular shoes? And not only is it way more difficult, I wouldn't try it. I think it's too difficult. Look, the American Council on Exercise did a study where they took a bunch of runners, they gave them some five fingers and said, go out for a couple of weeks and run, and let's come back and take a look at you. And 3 weeks later, 75%, I think, were still heel striking and overstriding. And I've seen that on my own, just watching races. And in fact, at the New York City Barefoot Run Pete Larson from Run Blogger, he made a video. So he actually got captured what I was observing, which is that the vast majority of the five finger wearers were still heel striking and over striding. And even on that shoe, it's, I think my theory is because dulls the sensation or absorbs enough shock that you don't get the kind of feedback that makes you go, I have got to change this. In fact, there was a guy who I sent a pair of shoes to who has been teaching natural running form for a number of years, exclusively wearing five fingers. And he made a video showing him trying out his invisible shoes on his first run. And he comes to the camera and says, wow, these will really let you know if you're heel striking. And he was trying to make it sound like, you know, they'll let you know, but it was obvious to him that he had been heel striking probably the whole time for the last 4 years and didn't even know it till he took off his five fingers.
Wow. Tell us about the invisible shoe.
Oh my gosh, it's the greatest thing ever invented, and if everyone buys them, there will be world peace.
All right. I'll take two.
Well, they're $1 million each. We're just trying to sell one. So invisible shoes, again, it's just a modern version of the Tarahumara Huarache, that, you know, sandal they make out of a piece of tire strapped to their foot. We just did it with some high-tech materials. We still do sell a Vibram outsole, but we, after about a year, we worked with these developers from Nike and Reebok to design an outsole specifically for barefoot running sandals, to be exact. So it was an improvement over the Vibram product. It's got better traction, high abrasion, feels good on your foot. It's got these reinforced ankle holes. Essentially, it's the closest thing you get to barefoot with a layer of protection, a little bit of style, and a perfect fit, and a 5,000-mile warranty.
5,000-mile warranty?
Seriously,
if you wear them down to less than a millimeter, like at the ball of the foot or the heel, hopefully not the heel, but some people, in under 5,000 miles, we'll replace them for just the cost of shipping and handling.
Oh, you've got to love that warranty. If we start adding up the price for shoes at 300 to 500 miles, I think we've just found a deal.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's for $25, you can get something that would outlast $2,000 for the running shoes.
Do you have any drills that you recommend for people trying to get into the proper running form?
Take off your shoe. throw it across the room.
Take off your shoes. Get a big pile of broken glass. it really is. If there was one lesson that we could give for coaching barefoot running, it would be take off your shoes, find a smooth but hard surface. This is a little counterintuitive. Some people think they want a soft surface, but that's basically taking the padding on your shoe and just putting it in the ground. Mm-hmm. You don't want a soft surface. So take off your shoes, find a smooth, hard surface, and go for a run. And if it hurts, do something different until it doesn't. And just start slow, like start with about 200 yards and then rest and see if you're sore the next day. And if you are, see if it's a kind of muscular soreness, that feeling where you know you just overdid it a little bit versus I did something wrong kind of soreness. And change it up, be gentle to yourself and change it up until it's fun and easy. And that's really all you need. Now, that said, it's not quite so simple for everybody. And there's some interesting reasons that it might not be, some of which are neurological. So Mike Merznick, who, if you read the book, The Brain That Changes Itself, he's the neuroscientist who's featured throughout most of that book. His theory is when you put your feet in shoes, the brain map, your brain normally will have different sections of it that are wired for different parts of your feet. But you put your feet in shoes and it gets the message by not getting sensations that you don't care about all that differentiation. You don't care about all those different parts of your foot. And so the brain literally kind of turns your foot in from this articulated thing into a big paddle. And you literally can't move it as well or feel it as well. And so for some people, when they take off their shoes, they literally have a hard time feeling the sensations because they haven't in so long and their brain isn't wired to feel it yet. So they really need to start slow. And some people are more facile at changing their gait and experimenting and trying new things. So for people who aren't really good at that, a little bit of coaching or even just getting yourself on videotape can make a big difference. I've had more than my share of customers who've commented about their running, and I could tell from what they were saying that they were heel striking. And they assured me that they weren't because they were really accomplished runners. And I said, send me a video. And you get the video and you show it to them and they go, look at that, I'm landing on my heels. So, you know, video is a very helpful thing. If by chance you can find someone who has some skill with this to run with you, you can usually kind of tweak almost any of these problems in just a few minutes.
Hmm, interesting. And certainly running in a pair of invisible shoes is going to be help to that end.
Did I mention world peace?
Yes, you did. And a 5,000-mile warranty.
So I mean, the thing with invisible shoes is that because it's really – there's two styles. One's just 4 millimeters of rubber. The other's just 6 millimeters of rubber. It's not the same as barefoot. I'm the first one to admit it. But it's really, really close. In fact, that high-speed video analysis – we did show that people ran in these the same way they do barefoot. So it's really, it's just like barefoot if they covered the entire world in 4 to 6 millimeters of rubber.
It's cheaper though, actually, to put the rubber on your foot.
It's true, but I'm working with the UN to try to get that cover the world in rubber thing.
There may be some bigger profits there if you pad the world. You know, as a sprinter, you know, you're out there training either barefoot or wearing these invisible shoes. What do you do when you're in a race? Are you in a racing flat or are you out there racing in sandals?
Yeah, it's a really good question because it brings up an important topic, which is barefoot always the best? And the answer is no. There are times where it's not the thing to do. And I think the idea with those of us who approach barefoot with a, let's call it scientific eye, is not with the idea that you need to be barefoot all the time. Now, granted, I'm saying this as a guy who's barefoot almost all the time and can think of a lot of reasons to be barefoot almost all the time. But there are times where I'm not going to do it. If I'm hiking on certain crazy, you know, sharp, pointy, jagged stuff that's like broken glass, there's a good chance I might put something on my feet. So similarly with sprinting, I do all of my drills and everything up to 80% of full speed, either barefoot or in invisible shoes. But as soon as I need to be doing really hard acceleration or I'm going full speed, I need to be in a pair of either spikeless spikes, which are kind of like cross-country spikes without the spikes, or actual sprinting spikes because you the little bit of movement that you would get just in your skin alone when you're running, my top speed, I hit about 23 miles an hour. That's a lot of force and friction on the bottom of your feet and on a Mondo track surface. Right. You may as well just sand them off before you start.
You run right out of your skin.
Yeah, you really would. So and you just really need that extra grip of having your foot tied down and in those spikes to get maximum acceleration.
The invisible shoe is 4 millimeters or 6 millimeters enough for a technical trail? And how does here's my follow up before my initial question, and let us know what is a Vibram 5-finger? I think we're used to kind of the thickness there. What is that measurement?
It's a good question. Let me answer it this way by saying that size, it doesn't mean anything. I know we've heard that sentence before. It's not about the size. It's not about the thickness in this case. Thickness is a really kind of meaningless statement, actually, because if you have, let's do a half of a millimeter of stainless steel versus a foot of cotton, which one's going to give you more protection? So the factors that go into which one gives you protection are much more than just thickness. Also, the shoe companies, including Vibram, as far as I can tell, will sometimes mention the thickness of the rubber, but then not include the fact that there is a small insole or some other form of padding that's not the outsole. So the numbers about thickness, it's often comparing apples and orangutans when you talk to different companies. So you have to be attentive to that. And again, thickness is not the critical factor. It's really the stiffness, the pliability, the flexibility, the abrasion resistance, the compression factors, the elongation. These are all things that I knew nothing about when I started this company. But now that I've, you know, dealt with rubber manufacturers, I know a whole lot about rubber things that I never thought I'd know. So the answer to your question is, your question doesn't quite, how do I want to say it? It's not the right question because it's not a matter of whether these are good for technical trails. It's a question of how do you want to run on a technical trail, and based on how you're running, will this be something that you'd enjoy? Because like barefoot running, you can't just keep doing the same thing and expect to switch to barefoot without a problem. Same thing with trail running, and I've done some trail running. If you're going to run trails and you're going to be barefoot or in something really minimalist, you can't just bounce off rocks and look for the pointy edge as a thing to balance on the way you sometimes do when you're barreling down a trail or even looking for something to grip going up a hill. Mm-hmm. So I know people who've done trail ultras in our shoes, but you have to You run in a very different fashion. Like, I know some ultra guys, their comment is, the last thing I want to do when I'm out on a trail ultra is feel anything from my ankles down. So for them, totally the wrong shoe. Mm-hmm. Other people, they love that thing of really feeling the earth and connecting to the ground and paying attention to where they're placing their feet, not in a focused, stressful way, but in that kind of being. You know, sometimes when you're, especially it happens on downhills for me more than other times, when you really feel like your brain kind of shuts off and you're just somehow your feet know where to go.
Yeah.
That's a different way of running than when you're really just trying to get to the bottom and you don't care where your feet go.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Did that kind of answer your question?
Yes. It answers it specifically, because you said you know all kinds of things about rubber, things you never knew, and that now you know, and all I needed to know was that you knew. So I'm good.
Dude, that is so zen.
I have a question for you. You make the 4 and you make the 6 millimeter. If we have some listeners out there that are anxious to try these and to get into them, which would you recommend for a new person coming out of the high heels and getting into a pair of invisible shoes?
Well, if you really want to accelerate that world peace thing, buy them both. So I'm going to milk the world peace joke for the rest of this talk, just so you know. It's another interesting question that I need to redirect, and that is, how do I want to say this? A lot of people have the idea that if you've been wearing some high-heeled something or other, the appropriate way to transition is to go to something a little lower, then a little lower, then a little lower, and it's exactly the opposite of that. There's no way you can slowly wean yourself. You need to just make the switch to barefoot or ultra minimalist and then work up the time and distance slowly. There's the, 2 millimeters under your feet is not the same as barefoot. Let me say it differently. A 2 millimeter heel lift is not the same as flat. It's a very different thing. So the notion of transitioning is I think, highly misunderstood and often presented by companies that are selling something that they are creating just to cater to that incorrect idea about it, what you should do. So that said, the answer to the question of what people should try is it really depends not on what you're doing, but what you want to feel. So we have people who use the 4 mil for running ultras. We have people who use the 6 mil for just walking around and vice versa. In fact, one customer, he emailed me, he'd been running, I don't know, about doing maybe 100 mile weeks, and he was wearing the 4 mil. And then he decided just to get a pair of 6 just to see what they were like. And he said, I love the feeling the ground when I'm running, but when I'm just walking around casually, the 6 mil gives me a little extra kind of smoother ride. And so he likes that. Other people, because the 6 mil is a little stiffer, use that when they're on trails because it's a little less barefoot feel. So the real question, or the real answer that I give people when they ask for advice about what to buy is, do you want the closest thing to a barefoot feel? If so, get our 4 millimeter, which we call Connect. And if you want a little extra padding, a little extra protection, get the 6 mil, which we call Contact.
Stephen, what I'm hearing is these aren't just for running. These are for fashion. These are for any time that you're erect, you should be in a pair of invisible shoes.
I am so not going to touch all the punchlines right now. In fact, I think that's the only time I don't wear them. But you know, folks, I'm here all week.
Try the veal.
Hey, I'm gonna steal a question from Scott, because he asked this and brought this up on a run the other day, and it was, is there a standardized form for drop, for millimeter, 0 drop, where 4 millimeter, where a 10 millimeter drop? Is there an industry standard? Can you trust going on to a vendor site and reading 7 millimeter drop? Can you speak
to that?
That's a
really good question. It's funny because, sometimes you look at shoes and they'll say, okay, 7 millimeter drop. And first of all, you notice that there might be a 7 millimeter drop. And what that means for people who don't know is that your heel is 7 millimeters higher than the ball of your foot, but then there's still an inch of padding underneath the whole thing. So, the fact that the heel drop is lower is certainly one thing that's valuable, maybe, but it's not telling the whole story, because then you look at those shoes and you look at the toe area, and what you see on a lot of them is a lot of toe spring. And toe spring is If you put the shoe on the ground, you notice that the ball of the foot will touch the ground, and then the toes are lifted up in the air as if by magic genies. the idea is that when you're running and you kind of roll your foot over the ball of your foot onto your toes, that toe spring is sort of simulating that motion or helping with that motion, or I don't know what the hell it's doing, frankly. Suffice it to say, if the sole is flexible enough, you don't need it to do that for you. That's what your toes will do. And you might notice that when you stand, your toes are not magically raised into the air as if by genies. So you might have 7 millimeters of heel lift, but then you have to look at the toe spring thing to see if that's going to affect the way your foot articulates, and hint, hint, it will.
So you're telling me I don't have toe genies in my foot coffins?
Foot coffins.
Those are toe ghosts in your foot coffins.
To your video stuff, barefoot runners say, I don't care if it's a wedding. I'm not going in those things you call shoe coffins. Something to that effect.
Foot coffins.
I butchered it, but it's funny no matter what.
Thank you.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much for coming on. I do want to direct people, and we will on the podcast, to your website. There, maybe you can talk about the different ways that you can purchase these. You can buy a kit and make your own. You have some good instructions on how to go about making your own. Or if you're lazy and have lots and lots of money and you want to have them make them for you, you can do that too. Is that correct?
Other than the lots and lots of money, because they're still pretty inexpensive,
right.
But you nailed it. I mean, they're really, really simple. You measure the length of your foot, because shoe size is completely arbitrary and meaningless. And what that means is if five different people tell me that they wear a size 11, you can guarantee that the length of their feet will be not the same. And that has to do with whether the shoe company uses the same sizing, whether you've got an insole in your shoe, how you like your shoe to fit, et cetera, et cetera. So you measure the length of your foot so you get the perfect size for your foot. And then you end up punching a little hole for where the string goes between your toes with a little hole punch that we include. And that way you get a perfect fit sort of left to right. That's why if you look at people who wear flip-flops, for example, you'll notice they don't fit properly because they're the wrong combination of length, width, and where that toe hole thing goes. And then you just lace them up, and there's a dozen different ways of doing that, from ultra minimalist to very fashion forward. Or if you don't want to do the heavy lifting, you just make a tracing of your foot around, or tracing around your foot on a piece of paper, and send that to us. And for an extra $15, we'll do it all for you. We'll cut them out, lace them up, and send them to you.
That's what I'm doing. I'm you know, my shoes are off right now because I'm not cruel to my feet. I've set them free. I'm going to get a piece of paper. I'm going to have Scott trace them out.
I'm not getting close to those things.
I'll have to find my wife to have her trace them out, and then I'm sending you a image of my foot, Stephen. That's what I'm doing.
I forgot what I was going to say. Dang it!
Did it involve world peace?
It did. I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
So the website you can find his shoes at. Maybe that's what you were.
Yes, you can find his shoes at www.invisibleshoe.com. Is that going to stay? I assume that when you change the name, you're going to forward that to the new website, right?
That is exactly what we'll be doing.
And the new website would be?
Zero Shoes, spelled X-E-R-O, shoes.com.
Is that already live?
Well, now if you go there, it points you back to invisibleshoe.com.
Okay. Wait, so either way that we can get there.
Okay. Either way you get there.
Good. Well, I'll tell you, the next podcast we do, I'll be wearing a pair of invisible shoes.
I can't wait to hear what you think.
I'll give you the feedback, absolutely. You know, a friend of ours that watched your video, and I was in a space with him that was generally a quiet place you're supposed to be. And I said, hey, Byron, you need to listen to this video. It is awesome. And he has an iPhone, so I queued it up for him. And he had a headset on, and he starts laughing hysterically. People are looking over at him like he couldn't contain himself because he just laughed on through this thing. And he said, you know what? I went and bought a pair of those invisible shoes because I thought that video was so funny. So I think it's effective.
Good marketing tool, Stephen.
Well, I got to tell you, that is completely not why I did it. In fact, we made the front page of boingboing.net, which was a huge shock and wonderful surprise. And someone made a comment about my ulterior marketing motives. And they couldn't have been further from accurate in that case. Now, granted, I'm no what's the word? I am no stranger to marketing. But in this case, I had seen so many of those quote stuff people say videos that just made me crazy because they weren't in any way funny. And, and my wife says to me, you know, you should make one for barefoot running. And I just sat on the idea for a few days until a couple of jokes popped into my mind. And then I just went out and did it. And honestly, it didn't occur to me at all that I was going to use this as a marketing thing. And now I'm really committed to just making as many wacky videos as is humanly possible.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely sign excellent. Up for every one of them.
And we are anxiously waiting for the follow-up video for this.
I'm really looking forward to it too.
Well, thanks again for joining us. We know it's a little later over in the Rocky Mountain area. Hope you're enjoying a nice warm fire with all the snow out there.
Well, you have seriously cut into my evening hot tub time, but I'll make it you'll make it up to me somehow.
Well, thank you very much for joining. Trail Runner Nation members, thanks for joining. Get on our website, trailrunnernation.com. You'll find the links to invisibleshoe.com, as well as other fun, entertaining links. Go there. Learn something from some of your other trail brothers and sisters. Share something, of course, because that's what we do as trail runners. And get out there and freaking run.
Steven, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, pleasure. That was a blast.
Hey, we are definitely going to – we'll link the stuff Barefoot Runner say and also your new one coming up and tweet it out there and get it out there as many ways as we can. And I'm not kidding. I'm going to buy a pair of those shoes.
We're all going to trace our feet now and send you some paper tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to trace mine in pink or something. You'll know it's me.
You can get pink laces if you want.
No. Hey, well, so what do you recommend? I want a consultation. I want something to run on the trail that gives me some support. What should I, you know?
I'm thinking the six.
I'm going six? All right.
You want the four?
Well, I don't want to be weak.
You know, wait. I'll tell you this story. This will help. While people who have done reviews of both definitely report that the six dampens sensations a little bit, and so for some people that's good, for some people that's bad, depending on their experience. And it's true; it definitely does. I will also tell you that one day I noticed I was wearing one of each, and I didn't even know.
Ah, okay. Now, am I going to get dirt underneath my foot in that sandal? Because I thought about that while I was watching the Huarache sandal.
Huarache.
Huarache. See? I'm a typical for the video guy.
Tamanumanamana.
Yeah, Tamanumanamana. No, they're called the Tamanumanamana.
Tom Ramahumani. Yeah. It depends. Depends on where you're running, and it depends on how you run. There, a number of people have reported that when they first start wearing them and they're running over certain kinds of gravel, they'll, you know, get something that'll kick up into their foot. Now, there is the funny thing. One guy emailed and said that he had to run like that for another hour. I couldn't figure out why he didn't just flick it out of his shoe with, right, you know, a flick of a finger. But then again, there was also a guy who told me he had to throw his away because the laces broke. I pointed out that he could have just tied them in a knot, and then sent that back to his harvard.edu address.
Oh, nice.
Hey, yeah. Steven, you got to realize trail runners, ultra runners, we're not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
We're not the sharpest bulb in the shed. Yeah. So the answer is back to the gravel thing. So some people report that, you know, they run over gravel, they find themselves kicking up stones, and then they'll email a little while later and say, I don't know what changed, but it's not happening anymore. So it's not like it never happens, but it's infrequent. And little weird things like that are often little pointers about what you're doing with your form. So it's not uncommon that if you get stuff in your shoe, it's because you're pushing off the ground. You're kind of like scraping your foot on the ground like you're trying to wipe dog poop off your foot when it's part of your backside mechanics. So it's something to be aware of, that sometimes those little features are actually pointers.
Tell me this, you know, the one concern I have, I mean, I wear flip-flops during the summer. We're in Northern California, so I wear flip-flops a lot. But I'm concerned running with that string up between my
totally
big toe.
Yeah, totally different game. So here's why it's not, why you can't compare those two things.
Okay.
Again, keep in mind, people run ultras in these things. They wouldn't do it if it sucked.
Right.
So the difference between this and a flip-flop is because this is wrapped around your foot. A, you don't have something hard and rubber between your toes. Mm-hmm. It's a soft lace. It's flexible. It's also thinner. And you don't have to with a flip-flop, to keep it on your foot, you've got to do two things. You basically got to jam your foot into the thong there every time you take a step, and you've got to grip with your toes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do either of those with this because it's laced to your foot where, I mean, you can't shake it off. So it's a totally different thing than a flip-flop.
Okay. I'm excited. I'm definitely going to get a pair of these.
I do have to tell you, I'm a little offended by one of your comments in your first video.
Well, thank God. Which one?
The one where you say, I have blisters on my heels, but I'm a 4-foot striker.
That's good.
That's completely me, by the way. I was just talking to Don on a run the other day, and I go, you know, I think I've come to the realization that I get blisters on my heels because I'm not a 4-foot striker.
Huge as breakthrough.
As I said, we're not the brightest bulb in the shed, huh?
Have you had anybody ask if they could put their orthotics in one of your invisible shoes?
Oh, boy.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're keeping all this on, Stephen. This is a bonus track, okay? So
this
go ahead.
This is on me. I get that one. What else do I get? I'd like to get these. Can I put a heel lift on them?
you don't really get that, do you?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Excellent.
In fact, it's one of the jokes in Shit Runners Say Two Barefoot Runners is I got some of those zero drop shoes, but I had to put a heel lift in them.
Heel striker. I like that your facial expression on that. The camera's right up close, and you go, heel striker. Love it. All right, let's do this again sometime, Stephen.
Oh, guys, again, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Hey, when you get the new video out, just shoot me a quick email. And we'll get it. We'll make sure it gets up there, and we'd love to have you on again. You're a lot of fun.
Thanks. I'll just to let you know, the one shot that I'm missing, it's been hampered by snow, and I need to head out to a friend of mine's house so I can get a picture where I'm standing with his horse, so I can say other animals wear shoes.
By the way, you're in Boulder, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. I lived in Broomfield for a couple years. I love Boulder. It's one of my favorite cities.
You know, as places to live, it's way up on the list of things that don't suck.
Yeah, it is. Good. All right.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Good night. Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Bye-bye.
Gotcha.